Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, and I thank you, God, for a great day. I thank you for what you did already in first service, God, and just the way you ministered. And I pray that you would meet us here, God, in even a stronger way, that you'd pour out your spirit on us. God, we all as believers face temptation. And some are this morning are not only facing temptation, they're dealing with sin in their life, and maybe some have been taken captive by sin. Maybe some have sins that just don't want to let go, and they're finding difficulty in being free. But you've called us as a people of freedom. Lord, you've given us the land of promise, and you've told us to go in and drive out all the enemies, and sometimes we don't exactly know how to do that. And then when we have enemies that hold on tightly, we don't know how to get rid of them. And Lord, that is exactly what sin is like in our life. And I pray that as we get into your word this morning, we would clearly, Lord, see the different types of sin that we need to drive out, but not just the types of sin, how to do it. And so God, minister to your flock, open up your word to us, and I pray you would set the captives free this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Types of sin. As I said last week, we began looking at the different types of sin we have to deal with and conquer as believers when we give our life to the Lord. And this week, we're going to continue looking at these types of sin. Last week, remember, we covered iron chariots and giants in the land. And remember, these are the things, guys, that keep believers from walking in freedom. Let me start this out by saying God wants you to be free. There's no reason a believer should not be walking in total freedom in the Lord. And how many of us are in bondage to some degree or another? I mean, if you think about it, let's be honest about this. Out of all of the children of Israel that went into the land, the only two that it tells us that were completely free were Joshua and Caleb. I'm not saying there weren't others that were free, but look at the example we have. They sent 12 spies in before they went into the land. And when the 12 spies came back, 10 of them did not believe God's word or his power. And these were God's people. This was like saying the church. Let's wrap our mind around this. The church went in, and 10 out of the 12 that were going to that church didn't believe that God could do what he said he was going to do. And that gives me an ominous, I think, picture of what I've seen over the years in ministry, and that is this. The majority of Christians do not walk, and here's key, do not walk in total freedom in the land that God has given them. You're free. Generally, most major sins you've dealt with, you have, the big ones are all checked off, but right now, many of us in this room are struggling with some of the smaller areas that we simply can't seem to weed out. That is not God's design for the believer. He didn't call you to partial victory. He didn't call you to have things you're struggling with. He called you to freedom. And we're going to see today some more of these types of sin, but not only that, the way to deal with that sin and to be free. God wants you free. He wants you to be a Joshua. He wants you to be a Caleb. He wants you not to be afraid of the giants. It's like the country man from Tennessee I heard about just this week that his daughter ran off with some boy from Kentucky. Now imagine that. You think that country farmer is going to let his daughter grow up with this, you know, boy from Kentucky? He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, you boys jump in the truck, go get her and bring her back. So he put his sons in the truck. They took off to go get her. They got all the way to just about this guy's house where they came to this bridge they had to cross, and they stopped abruptly, turned around, and came back as fast as they could. I mean, they pulled back on the farm. The dad came out and said, where's our daughter? Where's my daughter? Where's your sister? What's going on? He said, Dad, wait a minute. Didn't you say this guy's name was Clarence? He said, yes, that's his name, Clarence. He said, we got right to his house, and there's a bridge there, and clear as day on that bridge, it said, Clarence, 9 feet, 6 inches, and we got out of there. You go get him. Guys, a lot of times we're afraid of the giants. And you know what? A lot of times it's only an illusion. It's not a real giant at all. It's a misunderstanding on our part. And some of you this morning have clearances you don't think you can do. You look at them, you think, I could never attain that. I could never be free in that. It's something I've been involved in my whole life. It's something that's clung on to me, and I know I'm saved, but I can't get rid of that. The Lord wants you to be free. He wants you to be delivered from it. He's guaranteed that you can be delivered from it if you simply believe him. The problem is we oftentimes don't walk in faith, trusting in God to do it, and maybe you've been trying to do it in your own power. I hope that by the time we're done today, you're going to be able to see that it's God's power that sets us free. Now, when we jump into this, we take up midstream here with the children of Israel having partial victory after partial victory because of their unbelief. Yes, they're in the land. They're generally conquering the enemy, but they're not totally driving the enemy out. And God said, drive them out. every last one of them. And that's where we take up in verse 22. If you remember, we saw in the first verses here, and we covered again 8 through 21 last week, we saw that Judah, God was using Judah to lead every one of the battles. Judah going up. And we talked about how God wants us to be a people of praise and thanksgiving. And I think that's the first step to freedom from sin, is to be people of praise and thanksgiving. Yes, it may be literal praise, such as singing praise songs, but it might just be a heart of thanksgiving and praise to God. God, thank you for what you've done. I believe your word. I believe in your power. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to put my faith in you. And that's the first thing God wants us to do, is to be those children, again, who walk in that praise. And now we're going to see that he goes on to the other tribes, because they've got to take their land too as well, and their territory. And we're going to see they have the same struggles. They go in, but they don't completely conquer the enemy. And that's where we take up in 22. Notice what it says. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with him. Now again, notice Joseph here. It says he went up against Bethel. And notice it says, and the Lord was with him. Now, the first thing I want you to note here is God is giving this picture of Joseph now going in to defeat the enemy in his life. Notice what it says, the Lord was with him. Don't let that pass by you. Because some of you that are struggling with that sin that you can't get out of your life, you're forgetting that God is there to help you do it. God has not said that you have to defeat sin in your life. God has said, let me defeat sin in your life. You're just to believe me and submit to me, and I'll defeat it. And we have to remember that God is with us in these battles. Jesus said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wasn't just giving empty words. He means it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. He will help you in the midst of this. And this is something that Joseph needed to hear. And I think it's something that we need to hear as well, especially going in to drive the enemy out. And notice what happens. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city and we'll show you mercy. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and his family go. Now, there's a couple things to note here. Notice they sent spies to watch this city. I think there are times to send spies and there are times not to send spies. When the children of Israel chose to send in the 12 spies to see the land, that was a stumbling block for them. If they hadn't sent those spies in there to see the land, 10 of them wouldn't have come back saying, we don't have a chance, we can't do this. They would have just been with everybody else saying, let's go in, and God would have given them the victory. But they went in to spy out the land, and 10 of them got afraid. So I think in that case, God didn't tell them to go in. God allowed them to go in when they asked. But it doesn't say anywhere that God told them to go in and spy out the land. And I think a lot of times, if we look too much at what we're facing as a Christian, we can get afraid to even try, especially for the unbeliever. And they say, well, I can't do this. I can't just walk with God and turn away from these things in my life. If they knew too much information, I think it can actually be a hindrance because they haven't experienced the power of God. However, there is a time, guys, that we need to spy out our sin, to spy out the land. What do I mean by that? A lot of times when it comes to sins that we're captive to, if we're captive in a city of sin, we oftentimes don't really see the way in or the way out. We feel trapped. We feel like, I don't know how to get free from this. You know, I don't know what to do to be delivered from this. All I know is that I'm captured and I can't be free. And sometimes we have to step back and look at the situation and say, all right, wait a minute. Let me examine why I'm captured in this city of sin. What is the way out of this? What is the way that the temptation is coming in? Let's evaluate. And even as this man had snuck out of this city, they saw him come out of the city, there was a secret exit and a secret entrance to that city. And they didn't see where he came out or where he went in, but when he came out, they captured him and they said, all right, you show us where the entrance to this city is, this secret passage in and out, we'll let you live and we'll let your family live. And of course, the man wasn't a fool. He took him up on it and his family lived. But the point I want to make for us first in this is when we examine these areas where God wants us to defeat the enemy in our life, oftentimes there's a secret entrance that we're not even noticing. And we need to find out what it is. Mark, what do you mean? Well, simply this. Over the years, I've had people come to me and they'll say, hey, I struggle in this area. I can't seem to get rid of this sin. And I'll say, well, tell me about your life. What do you do during the day? What are you watching? What are you reading? And as they begin to share what they're watching and what they're reading, inevitably we'll come across something and I'll say, stop right there. What? That's it. That right there is an open door to temptation into your life that you need to close off. And if you close off that door of temptation and you choose to separate yourself from that, God will give you that city. God will set you free and the enemy will be gone in that area of your life. And I've watched it happen. I've watched people that have rejected that and they've continued on, not only in their sin, but to become more a captive. And then I've seen some people say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm not going to read that magazine anymore. I'm not going to watch those kind of movies anymore. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm going to block that channel. And I've watched God set people free by simple acts of obedience, by spying out the sin that has them trapped, and then getting counsel. So there's a very wise thing to do when you have that city of sin that you can't figure out. Why do I keep stumbling in this? Get counsel. Go to your pastor. Go to any pastor. Go to a friend who knows the Word of God and say, listen, let me tell you what's going on in my life, and here's what's happening. What do I need to do? And then you're going to find there's freedom in that. And again, this is something I deal with on a regular basis as people come to me. But if we do the right thing, God will set us free. God will give us the ability to conquer it and defeat it. Now, again, notice also, and this is important, notice he showed mercy on this man that came out of the city and showed mercy on his family for telling him this secret entrance, this secret passageway. And this is really amazing to me to watch this guy because, again, this is kind of a warning to us. If God shows you the way out of that city of sin, that thing you're trapped in, if he shows you the way out and he gives you counsel, take it. Don't just ignore it. Say, all right, I now see the secret way this has been coming in. I see how this has still got a stronghold in my life. I'm going to deal with it. And then God will show you mercy. And what I love about this is God not only showed this man mercy, he showed his family mercy. Dads, listen up to this. And moms as well, but it falls mostly on the dad. And this example here is a man. If you are allowing sin to keep you trapped in any area of your life, if there's something that's kind of hidden, there's some hidden entrance or way that you don't, and this maybe it's even hidden from the family, but there's sin in your life, it is going to affect your wife and it's going to affect your children as well. But if you get set free from that sin, it will also be a blessing to your wife and a blessing to your children as well. And this man, because he simply did what God said, and he showed them the way in and the way out to the city that needed to be conquered. What did God do? God said, all right, now you're free and your family's free as well. And God delivered him. And this is a blessing, but it's a warning for us. It's not something to take lightly. We can't think that our sin doesn't affect our family. It does. It affects our family greatly, either in a bad way or either in a good way. And again, I want to also encourage you that if God does give you the way out and if God is showing you maybe right now, maybe as we're talking about this, God is saying, you know what? This area in your life that you're struggling in, and God just put his finger on what it was in your heart that secret passageway to get in there. You know, you really shouldn't be watching that show, or you really shouldn't be doing that. God's showing you right now what it is. And you've got a choice to make. Am I going to do something about that or not? Don't have the attitude, well, I'll just wait till later. I'll wait till later. Listen, if this man had waited until later, he would have died with the entire city that was about to be judged by the Lord. And my point is, when God is telling you and when God is warning you and God is encouraging you to be free, now is the time to be free because you don't know how long you're going to be captive. And I've seen people that have postponed it because I want to think about it a while longer, and they go down with the ship. Don't go down with the ship. If God is convicting you this morning, respond to it because God is merciful, but even God has his limits. And we're going to see that after this man was clear of the city, God destroyed the city. He waited on that man to get away. Now, don't lose this point either, and that is when it comes to defeating sin in our life, we covered this last week, but it stands out so starkly here in verse 25. He says, he showed them the entrance of the city, and they struck the city with what? The edge of the sword. Remember, how is it that you defeat sin in your life? The Word of God. The Bible says God's Word is our sword. You strike it with the edge of the sword. It is written. It is written. I speak to the young man. It is written, flee sexual immorality. If you're a young man, you're not married, that's a temptation. And when the temptation comes, and it will over and over, because we're human, you say this, it is written, flee sexual immorality. And you quote it, and you resist it, and you don't look at these things, you don't watch those things, and you stay away from the areas where you can stumble. God will give you power, and God will set you free. And whatever area of your life you're dealing with, you use the edge of the sword. Quote Scripture, memorize Scripture, and battle against it with Scripture. Now, here's the amazing thing about this guy. Look, God gives him another chance. God, through the children of Israel, sets him free. And look at verse 26. And this is where the guy, I believe, messes up. We don't know what ultimately happened with him. But this right here, I think the Holy Spirit is showing us this is a mistake that any of us can make. Verse 26, and the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, note this, and called its name Luz, which is its name even to this day. Guys, look at what this guy did. God set him free from the city of Luz, which was a city of sin, which was a city that God was judging. He goes in God's mercy after escaping, and he goes and builds another city with the exact same name. Here's the bottom line. It's not that the name was being judged. It shows, I think, the heart of the man that came out of the city of Luz. You know, you can take the man out of Luz, but can you get the Luz out of the man? It would almost be like somebody who goes out and they get drunk and they drive 100 miles an hour down Pellissippi. They have a terrible wreck and God spares their life. And they live. They made it. They're okay. But they get a DUI. They've got some consequences, but they're alive and no one else was injured. And what does that person do as soon as they get out? They go right back, get drunk again, and start driving at 100 miles an hour. Listen, the bottom line is if God has given you another chance and let you escape the city of judgment, don't go back to it. This guy had it simply built into his DNA. He was a loser. Now, that's corny, but it gets the point across. We can either live our lives as losers, going back to the same judgment over and over and over, or we can say, God, in your mercy, you set me free from that. I will not go back. You know, from time to time, the enemy will tempt me and say, you know, yeah, but boy, remember the party days? Hey, that was some fun time. Hey, and wait a minute. I also remember all the gross stuff, you know, and all the stuff that I don't want to talk about. He tends to want to bring up the good times that went with the sin we were involved in, but he's real quiet when it comes to all the throw up that followed that. Have you ever noticed that? And the Bible says a dog, it's like a dog returning to his what? When God sets you free, listen, when Satan does that, and recently some things come, here's what always comes to my mind. I've been to that city. I lived in that city a long time. I know what's in that city. I'm not going back, and I don't want to go back. I want to go to the new city, the city of God that God has for me in heaven, where I'm going to live forever in freedom with him. That's the city we're to be looking toward. Not the old city in the past, but this is what the enemy tries to draw every single one of us back to. And if you don't admit it, you're lying. Happens to the pastor on down. There's nothing special about being a pastor. It just means that if I get in trouble, it has a bigger impact. How about that? But if you get in trouble, it causes an impact on the body of Christ as well. We're in this thing together as a family. And we need to pray for each other, and we need to flee, and we need to have defeat, and to drive the enemy out of our life and live in that freedom that God has, and not to be like this guy. Oh, yeah, you set me free, but yeah, I'm going to build another city with the same name because I remember what it was like. Yeah, it might be kind of bad now, but there were some good times, you know, whatever. No, there's not. It leads to death and darkness. It's the same path. It's the same death. It will not change for eternity. And those who remain in it are going to be sucked down with it into eternity. And so we go for the upward call of Jesus Christ. Well, now he jumps into the rest of these cities, moving on down, starting in verse 27, or the rest of the tribes, rather, as they go in to take their territory. And notice how they just fail over and over and over. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleim and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Notice, first of all, he went in and got partial victory, but did not drive everyone out of these villages like God commanded him to do. That is the tribe of Manasseh. And why? Because it brings us to the next type of sin. Notice the last sentence in that verse, they were determined to dwell in the land. Listen, there are some sins that are determined they're going to stay in your life. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many promises, I will not do that next week. Okay, I did it again, but next week I will not do that. All right, I did it again, but next week, and week after week after week, all we see is that we are weak. Guys, we can't do it. It's God's power and God's power alone. And there are sins that are determined, I'm not leaving. Oh, yes, you will. No, I'm not. Yes, you will. No, I'm not. And they're like little arms are crossed, like, right? There's the only way to deal with them again is the power of God. It's simply making the right choices. I'm not going to give this determined sin an opportunity. And God, you've got to set me free. Listen, I think a lot of times God is just waiting for us to say to him, I really want you. I want to be set free. When I'm struggling with temptation, I don't try to hide anything. God sees everything. You ever think God doesn't see it? You think we're getting, don't say it, because God, he knows what you're thinking. He knows everything about you. I remember when my kids were little, you know, you play that hide and seek game and they get behind this one little tree with a branch and they're like this much bigger than it. You know, like, well, not that big. They'd have been giants, right? Right. The Nephilim. I've got the Elphilim. I've got the reverse. But they're, anyway, so they're like this wide and they're behind this little tree and they're giggling. And you're going, where are they? I can't see them. And you're going, and you know exactly where they are and you see everything about them. And they jump back and go, here I am. And they start giggling. A lot of times when we pray and we're not just being flat out honest with the Lord, we're like that little kid behind that tree. And he's going, you know what? Come out from behind that little stick and be honest with me. Lord, I'm struggling with lust. Well, thank you for admitting it. Lord, I'm struggling with wanting to steal money from a boss. Well, then thank you for laying that out there. Lord, I've got, and whatever you're struggling with, don't pretend. Tell him, I need your help, God. I don't want to go that way. I've been in that city. I want to be free. And this is something that remains with me. It's like it's determined to stay here. That same thing I've struggled with is determined to pull me back in. And I'm just being honest. God, set me free. Help me. That's a prayer our Father loves. He doesn't sit up there and go, I knew it. I knew it. About time, I knew it. Oh, you're in trouble now, Mark. I'll tell you what. Now, He goes, I know this. I know that. Now, you give it to me. Mark, you choose to stay away from those areas where you can stumble, and you give it to me, and I'll set you free. You make the right choices, I'll give you the power. You got a deal. God just wants honesty. He wants heart. The sad Christian is the one that doesn't even want to be free. They don't mind that. That's determined to stay, and I don't mind. We'll get to that in just a moment. That's not even really under this particular sin title, if you will, but we'll get to that in just a moment because there are those sins that do that. But this is the one here again where it's just determined to stay, and no matter what we do, it seems like it's always there. God says, no, I will set you free even from determined sin, even if you fail over and over and over. The problem is you've got to make the right choice. And I'm going to give you the first, really one of the main things to set you free from all these types of sin, especially determined sin, and that is choices. Choices. Guys, the choices that you make are going to determine what stay in your life. Remember, we talked about that hidden entrance in that city, in and out, that they had there. If we choose to close off that door, once God shows us what it is, I'm not going to go to that place anymore. I'm not going to call that person anymore. I'm going to break off that relationship. I had someone come up to me after first service that said, you know what? This really got my heart today, and I realized God wants me to be free, and I've got a friend that's keeping me from being free. Because this friend is pulling me towards sin and things I don't need to be involved in. But this is a long-term friend for many years. We're very close. And I don't know how to break this off. What do I do? So we spent some time talking about breaking it off. But this person made their mind up today. I'm breaking off a friendship that I've had for years. Think about that. Today, I'm breaking a friendship that I've had for years because that friendship is leading me down the road of sin and I want to be free. Guys, that's a heart that wants God. God will honor that heart. If you love God more than your friends, that's a heart God will honor. If you love God more than your parents, more than your wife, more than your husband, more than anything on this planet, God will honor that heart and he will move in great ways in your life. And I don't care what kind of determined sin you have, God is more determined to get rid of it if you mean it. But you've got to make the right choices. Make right choices, whatever those choices are, and you'll get rid of the determined sin. Look at verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but they did not completely drive them out. Here comes our next type of sin. And guys, this one is so sneaky. It is the sin we put under tribute. Or might I say this, it is the temptation that we put under tribute. Mark, what do you mean? Tribute meant that you were the master over something because you had more strength than it did. You see, they had taken most of the land. They had more strength than the remaining people, but rather than drive them out as God said to them, they let them remain. But they didn't worry about them because they're just a small little area and they're under my power. They're under tribute to me, so I'll control them. I'll use them for my purposes, and you never know, there might even be a time that I can kind of play with that area ever so often. Again, here's the bottom line. Do we have areas of temptation that we're not completely getting rid of? And what I mean by that is maybe it's something that we kind of like. We're not really doing it. We're not really in sin. But, you know, it is kind of there, and it's kind of fun to play with every so often. Maybe, you know, we're really into sports. And after all, it is the Sports Illustrated. Yeah, I know it's the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, but I'm not really buying it for that reason. I really just love football. And the fact that it's in there, I'm strong enough. I'll just kind of go through those pages kind of fast. A little faster than the other ones, but it's under my control. I'm not really being drawn in. I'm not really desiring another woman. It's not really mental adultery. It's under tribute. I've got control of it. Listen to me. If you have an area in your life that you've got under tribute that's a temptation, you've got to kick it out of the house. It can't live anywhere around you, because here's what happens, and this is what happened to the children of Israel later on. These peoples that were under tribute, they started getting stronger. And Israel, because they didn't do what God said, started getting weaker. And when we don't do what God says, we start getting spiritually weaker, and the flesh is always strong. Have you noticed? And if we allow the spirit side to begin to wane and the flesh side to begin to get stronger, what happens? These temptations that we're able to handle because we're mature. I'm mature, I can handle that. It doesn't bother me. I can watch that and, you know, a little bit of flesh. I can handle that. I'm not tempted. Be careful, believer, because it's going to rise up and conquer you. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. That's why God, in his all-knowing wisdom, said, don't let it stay. Don't put them under tribute. Drive them out. Don't settle for anything. You've got to be the one. If you want to be totally free in the land that I've given you, you've got to take action and do the right things to be free. And whenever I see someone that will take the right action to be free, God never lacks in the power, ever. He's always got the power to set us free, and he will set us free. And it's only a matter of time until it takes us over. So he says, notice, they didn't drive them completely out. And look at verse 29. It brings us to our last type of sin. Then we just finish out with the struggles they have in the rest of the chapter. But it says, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them. Again, interesting, the meaning of Gezer. Gezer means just a portion. And here's the next type of sin. Okay, I'm going to keep just a portion of it. I mean, I'm not going to really get drunk anymore. I know I came out of alcoholism and all that, and there's nothing wrong in a Christian drinking, right? Heard the pastor say that. So I'll just have a beer every so often, although I know that's kind of there, just a portion. Maybe sometimes I'll have a couple of beers, just a portion. Again, this is not a teaching on alcohol, so bear with me on this. I'm talking about the person who in this area is struggling and been set free, and they get pulled back into it. I'll just keep that portion. Listen, when I gave my life to the Lord, I knew the things that I needed to get rid of. I came out of a music background, and I had all these, all the classics, you know, and I had this, and I had that, whatever, and everything. And I knew when I came to the Lord, there's that temptation to go, well, it's just a portion, and I'll keep that portion under tribute, and I don't need to really, and it won't pull me back into that world of that kind of music, because one of certain types of music would draw me in. You know, I mean, I have to be careful around the heavy metal stuff. I mean, you go, yeah, okay, yeah, heavy metal. But I mean, there's something in my spirit. It kicks in. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. And I start pulling my flesh back, going, no. It's not that heavy metal's bad, but Mark, when you get involved in it, it gets a little bit crazy. So pull back. So I'm not attacking heavy metal. I'm saying for certain people like me, I've got to be careful about that. But if I take just a portion and put it under tribute, I'll be fine. You know, God told me, throw it all in the trash, every bit of it. And I thought, yeah, but this is valuable stuff. I could sell it at a garage sale. Well, if it's poison for you, you want to sell poison to someone else? Lord, throw it away. Boom. I was free. I'm not picking on music or the kind of music you like or don't like. I'm making a point. Whatever area you struggle in, he doesn't want you to put it under tribute. He doesn't want you to keep a portion of it. He doesn't want it to be in Gezer. He doesn't want it to be a geezer, however you say it. Yeah, get rid of the geezer. Wait a minute. You wives might be thinking I'm saying get rid of your husband. I'm not saying that. Don't get rid of the geezer. Gezer. That's better, right? Okay, Gezer, get out of here. I'm saying it properly. Guys, there can't be a portion that remains. If you're struggling, God may say to you, there may be some of you guys that, again, that you're not going to stumble at that. But there may be some of you in whatever area, you pick the area. And you know that you're still being drawn into that because there's a pull. Whatever it is, you need to totally wipe it out. You know, when God sent them into the land, he said, take all their idols and destroy them. He didn't say, keep them as a mantelpiece. Lord, I don't follow that God. I don't, but this is like a relic. This is valuable. I'll put it right there. Destroy it, because it will pull you into a direction you don't need to go. And whatever that idol is, whatever that thing is that's pulling you in the direction you don't need to go, if you want to be free, if you don't want to be like the other 10 and the other 2 million that died in the wilderness, but you want to be like Joshua and Caleb, here's your choice. Destroy it. You want to walk in freedom and be like Joshua and Caleb? Then do it. Otherwise, you're going to live in the wilderness the rest of your life. And so this is God's path to freedom for the believer. And notice the failures they have from 30 on. Look at verse 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalal, so the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Ihob or, not Ihob, I'm sorry, Ahlob, drove out Ihob and drove out Waffle House and all those. I'm just kidding. Achzib and Helbon, Afik and Rahab. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anoth, and they dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anoth were put under tribute to them. And the Amorites, look at this. Now here's another thing that happens. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, and they would not allow them to come down in the valley. See, guys, this is not a type of sin, but this is a result. If we don't completely drive out the enemy, there are places that we can't walk in freedom in, because the enemy will drive us to a certain place in that area. And here, because they didn't drive them completely out, now the enemy's driving them to the mountains, denying them part of the land that God gave them. We should never be denied one inch of ground that God gives us. And the Amorites were determined, again, look at that, to dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and Shalabim. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became great, they were put under tribute. And the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah, and upward. It's interesting, the boundary of the Amorites, the ascent of Akrabim, it means the ascent of the scorpions. He says the boundary where God had told them, okay, you cut them off, they can have that area, but you stay within this area, they can have the ascent of the scorpions, but you, I've given you this land. Why is that key to me? Number one, in Scripture, scorpions are a type of the demonic realm. What did Jesus say? I've given you power to trample on scorpions. Guys, I have the power to do that as an unbeliever. He's got a nice Texas boot, and there's the scorpion. He's gone, right? No, he's talking in the spirit. He's saying, I'm giving you as a believer the power over the demonic realm. If you'll walk in that power, I'm giving you power. And what he's saying to the children of Israel, I don't want you going on the ascent of the scorpions. I don't want you going into the land of the enemy. You stay out of the land of the enemy. You stay in the land I've given you. Listen, in Jesus Christ, we have great freedom. We are free. We're free in Christ. And I enjoy my freedom in Christ. But I also know that if I go to the ascent of the scorpions, if I start hanging out in the bar, if I start going, you know, and just because I really like the wings, you know, certain places that sell wings, and the women don't dress so nicely, I just like wings. Yeah, right. They sell wings a lot of places in town, right? If I'm going to the place of the scorpions, and I'm not saying there are demons there, don't get me wrong. If I go to where demons can work on me, how about that? If I go to a place where the demonic realm can work on me, then I'm going outside the boundary God has given me. I've got a big playground, but God says, now there's areas you're going to die. You don't need to be going to the ascent of Akrabim. You need to be staying right here away from the area of the demonic realm. Stay where I can keep you safe among the places that I've given you, among people that love you. And that's when you're going to find freedom. Guys, as we wrap this up today, here's the bottom line. Are there iron chariots or giants that have you afraid? Are there sins that are determined to stay in your life? Sins that you've put under tribute? The sins of Gezer that just maybe just a portion you've allowed in there? Listen, God wants you to get rid of it all. And I'm not saying that even if some of these things you're struggling with means you're not going to heaven. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, do you want to walk in the land free or do you want to be under bondage? God has called you to freedom. He wants you to enjoy your freedom. He wants you to be in control of your life and to live for him and to bring him glory that he can shine through you. And the cleaner the vessel, the brighter the light. You get a jar and it's all mucked up, then what happens? It's got muck all over it, mud stuff. You try to look at that jar, you can't see a thing through it. You clean it, you shine it, you polish it, you wash it out. Man, that thing can shine light like you've never seen before. And so God wants to clean us up. He wants to shine his light through us, and most of all, simply out of a father's heart of love, he wants to set us free. I want my girls to be free and enjoy life. I don't want them to be in bondage. If I want that being evil, that is being sin nature, as Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father want us to be pure and free walking with him? God has that for us this morning. And I want to pray now that God will give us the power to do it. Real quick, here's what you do. You make the right choices. You determine, okay, God, I believe. Number one, you determine, I believe you have the power to do this. I believe you have the power. Okay? Determine that in your heart. Do you really believe that? Number two, here's what I ask you. Do you want to be set free? It's like the man laying next to the water there in Jerusalem. He said, do you want, Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? I would think the obvious answer is, of course I want to be made well. I've been laying here crippled for 38 years. That's not what I asked you. Do you want to be made well? He was getting to the man's heart. It seems as though the man didn't want to be well for whatever reason, maybe because of what he was receiving, the benefits, the attention, I don't know. But then the man said, yes, I want to be well. He said, then rise up and walk. So we have to recognize God's power. We have to desire that we want to be made well. Number three, you've got to make the right choices. Whatever choice you need to make to block off those secret entrances into the city that are keeping you captive, cut them off. Stop those. And then lastly, you need to ask for God to come upon you with his power and give you the power of the Holy Spirit to be free. God has promised you the land. He makes good on his word. But now you've got to do your part and do the right stuff so that he can work. Let's pray. Lord, I know you want to set your people free, and I know there's people here today. You want to set them free. God, they've conquered the general sins. They've gone into the land, but they're not walking, God, in freedom and in peace. God, they're not walking in total freedom. They've got things they've put under tribute. They've got a small portion they've kept for those days of emergency. They've got sins that are determined to hang on. But God, you said this, if we would simply believe your word and we would choose to turn away from the things that cause us to stumble, you would set us free. And how are we set free? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I ask you would pour out your Holy Spirit on your people right now. And I want you guys, again, begin to ask God to pour out his Spirit on you, to fill you with his Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. And Lord, I pray that right now there may be some that'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. Your power will come upon them and their life will be radically transformed. If that's you, begin to pray, God, baptize me in your Spirit. I need you, God, to give me this power. God, there are others right now in the room that just need to be filled fresh anew. And so God, I pray that right now you begin to pour out your Spirit to fill us fresh and anew. God, we need your power. You've called us to be a people that walk in freedom, that can show other people the way to freedom. But if we ourselves are in bondage, how can we lead others to the road of heaven and freedom? Oh God, set your people free today. Let us make the choice to let it happen. And then you, God, by your power, do it. And we'll give you all the glory. Thank you, God, for what you've done and what you're doing right now. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name.